Hello, my beautiful beings. How are we today? Welcome to the show, and I'm your host, the Human Salmon. In this episode, I'm going to dwell into my stories of hitting rock bottom and how hitting rock bottom shouldn't be frowned upon, as I believe you need to experience many of the bad times to appreciate the good times. Now, I'm sure there's people going to be listening to my stories and be like, that's not rock bottom, and I've experienced so much worse. This is definitely true, but remember, it's not a dick measuring contest, and this is what I've considered rock bottoms in my life. As the quote beautifully goes, comparison is the thief of joy. But enough about philosophical quotes, let's get straight into it. Oh, and I'm going to try and tell it through a third person point of view, as I want to improve my storytelling skills. So let's get straight into it. My Many Tales of Rock Bottom, titled, Sometimes It's Better to Not Take That Extra LSD. Chapter 1, The Beginning to an End. We start our story with a young male named Jack Salmon. He's been a bit of an avid traveller, and his travels have taken him to a place in California and a small town which was in deep in the heart of redneck country. Jack had a brilliant day of exploring national parks in the beautiful Socorro National Park as well. And he went back to the hostel where he resided for the night after an accomplishing day of exploring. When arrived, he was greeted by the travellers as well as some of the town locals that were there. It was a fantastic evening. The night was lukewarm, the grass was beautiful, and all isolated from the big cities. Jack thought this is a perfect time to grab some beers, so he went down to the local petrol station to get some beers. And to join his journey, he was accompanied with two Spanish gentlemen on his small journey. They conversed in many tales and had some laughs, and then when they arrived, Jack grabbed a 12-pack of beer, which cost about $15.95, and they were on their way back to the hostel. That night at the hostel, it was barbecue night, so they all indulged in some beautiful barbecue. Then it was time to go around the back to enjoy the campfire that was provided for them. Jack was having a grand old time and was enjoying listening to other stories from folk all over the world, as well as telling his stories. After about an hour around the campfire, some of the folk decided to go to bed, so there was only Jack, the two Spaniards, a nice California girl, and the two town locals. The beers were going down well. Then one of the town locals talked to Jack and asked in his thick American accent, "So, you want to do an acid tab?" Now, for the story purpose, we'll call this guy Redneck Jerry. Redneck Jerry was an honest man, a man full of pride. He had that iconic patriotic baseball cap on his head, and a chiseled jaw that would make some of the ladies drool. Now, Jack was in a very interesting situation. He looked around to his other fellow travellers and could only hear silence echoing through the forest, and realised that no one wanted to do it. Then Redneck Jerry is peering down Jack's eyes with the campfire glistening, shine reflecting in his eyes. Jack thought for a few moments as he decided in his mind. Then his mind replied with, "It'll make a good story." So he looked at Redneck Jerry and replied with his deep Australian accent, "Fuck yeah, Jerry, let's do this." Redneck Jerry smiled eagerly and then turned to the other town local who was there and asked for one tab from her. Now for the other town local of the story, her name is Denise. Denise was a nice lady who was grown up in the small town for most of her life. She was brunette and plump girl, but had the nicest brown eyes and the biggest, cutest smile. Denise looked at Redneck Jerry with those peering eyes and gave him the LSD tab, while also replying with, "You still haven't paid for last time, hun." Redneck Jerry just laughed it off and replied with, "Ha ha ha, you know I'm good for it." Once Denise gave Redneck Jerry the LSD tab, Redneck Jerry gave half the tab to Jack, and then they went back to telling more stories around the campfire. An hour went by, and all the other travellers went to bed, So it was just Redneck Jerry and Denise as well. And of course, the main hero of the story, Jack, left around the campfire. This hasn't been Jack's first LSD tab, and he complained to Redneck Jerry that he's not feeling the effects. Redneck Jerry replied with, "It's only been an hour." Then Jack swigged his beer, and with an egotistical reply, he said, "Ugh, should be feeling it by now, mate." Redneck Jerry just laughed it off. After the comment, there was a brief silence. Then Denise replied with, "Well, I've got a LSD gel tab. We should have them." When she made the comment, Redneck Jerry immediately said, "Fuck no." As from looking at his facial expression, sounds like he's had a pretty memorable experience from these LSD gel tabs. Then Denise faced Jack with those big brown eyes and fire roaring next to her as she smiled with those big beautiful teeth. She muttered, "What about you, hon?" Once again, Jack was in a very interesting situation. He's heard of LSD tabs and has had them in the past, but never heard of LSD gel tabs. With his inquisitive stare, he asked Denise, "What are gel tabs?" Denise smiled and made a harrowed laugh, which echoed through the massive backyard. Jack was wondering, did she put on that laugh? Then Denise replied with, "Well, it's about 2 to 3 times stronger than a normal LSD tab, hon." Jack has only experienced LSD twice in his life, so he's not considered experienced in that matter. But tell that to his ego. He had an internal conflict in his mind to grapple the decision, as we all know how hard internal battles with decision making can be. Jack was now facing in those iconic cartoon scenes where there's the bad conscience dressed as the devil and the good conscience dressed as the angel. The internal battle started like this. First, it was the angel conscience starting the argument. 2 to 3 times stronger? Are you insane? You'll lose your fucking mind. The devil conscience replied with, "But isn't this what traveling is all about? To have these funny stories to tell?" "It won't be much of a story to tell if you lose your mind," replied the angel. "Come on, just do it." "No, I need to be sensible this time." As Jack continued with his internal mind battle, he couldn't help but notice that Redneck Jerry was talking to Denise and was having a conversation about the subject. He couldn't help but hear Redneck Jerry say, "That gel tab fucked me up last time." Then Redneck Jerry asked Denise if she would partake in this. And she replied with, "I'll be taking 2 gel tabs this time, hon." Now Jack was still struggling with the decision, but then he finally made one with no help from his stupid ego. The devil conscience gave him that decision by saying, "You can handle it. You've been through ayahuasca and you're pretty tolerant to psychedelics. You'll handle it no problem." With that comment, Jack then looked at Denise and replied with, "Let's do this." Denise smiled more eagerly and went into her small container and grabbed this small red gel tablet that Jack immediately put in his mouth and swirled it around. No going back now, he thought. As all this is happening, Redneck Jerry is smiling as he's probably elated he's not going down that path. But who gives a fuck about Redneck Jerry? This is Jack's story. Chapter 2. Losing My Mind. So time is irrelevant when on these psychedelics, so I'll explain this part as best I can. Jack was sitting near the campfire with Denise and Redneck Jerry while swigging back his beer. And after another hour went by, after ingesting the LSD gel tab, he was thinking to himself, "Don't know why they thought this was 2 to 3 times stronger. I still can't feel anything." As he looked up at the other folks, he swore he could see a dragon behind Denise. And as he's rubbing and his eyes and staring into the dragon's eyes, he murmurs to himself, "Well, there was no dragon head there before. and the visuals start kicking in. As Jack is sitting around the campfire, he was trying to converse with other people to try and distract himself from the noticeable dragons. Conversations and lots of laughing were happening amongst the group, and Jack couldn't help but hearing Redneck Jerry saying, "This Australian's cooked." Jack looked at Redneck Jerry and simply replied with, "I'm fine, mate," as he realised that he was doing sand angels on the ground and looking into the sky out of all the imaginary shooting stars that were happening. Redneck Jerry had cause for concern for Jack and laughed at Denise by saying, "I told you couldn't handle it." Denise just laughed. Jack couldn't help but hear Redneck Jerry's comments, so he stood up and said, "Mate, I've handled way worse." Then reaching for his beer and missing half his mouth while licking the beer on his wet shirt. Jack was not having a good time. Jack then needed to pee and removed himself from peering eyes as he tries to regain his composure. And what better way to do that than isolating yourself in the portaloo, aka the portable toilet, which was conveniently located in the backyard. Jack then used cautious steps and made his way from peering eyes into the depths of the dark portaloo. Jack went back into his thoughts and tried to give himself some internal motivation. The mindful motivation started like this. "Okay, Jack, you've got this. This is nothing. Just don't panic." He then used the portaloo to relieve himself and urinating in the dark, smelly depths of the toilet. Once this finished, the devil conscience came back to Jack in his most vulnerable state and was laughing at him. Then another conversation happened, and unfortunately this wasn't verbally spoken in his mind. The devil first laughed at him and then said, "Well, well, well, look what you've got yourself into." Jack then patiently waited for his angel conscience to back him up. But waiting and waiting and waiting, the angel never arrived. The devil kept laughing and mocking Jack, telling him, "You are weak. You are nothing. No wonder everyone is laughing at you." Jack then realized this isn't real, and I've got total control over this. He remembered a voice from someone quoting, "You control the drug, not the drug control you." He kept repeating a mantra by saying, "This isn't real, this isn't real, this isn't real." And another telling himself, "Don't panic, don't panic," as well as breathing deeply. After what seemed like a lifetime, the devil diminished. The mantra and breathing worked, and Jack couldn't help but releasing a victorious roar and laughing, knowing he won that battle. Jack then realized that he was talking to a massive turd in the toilet. Then, through his realization, he laughed even more. But I guess that's the closest thing that would represent the devil at this stage. After having enough of the dark, smelly, and haunted portaloo, Jack was thinking that the campfire would be a better site by now. Jack then tried to get out of the compact dark toilet and tried to locate the lock that was on the door. He slowly caressed his hands along the door slowly and smoothly and realized he still can't find it. Now I'm sure anyone in this situation would just get their phone out and use the light to find the lock in the dark room. But logic was non-existent in the state that Jack was in. He then amused himself by thinking how funny this would be if anyone could see me right now, and thought, "Oh, how my parents would be proud of me now." Deep reflection overcame Jack in this dark portable toilet. He murmured to himself, "You've done it again, Jack. Here I am, tripping on LSD, talking to a turd which I thought was my devil conscience, and you can't get out. Oh, how I've hit rock bottom." chapter 3, Out of the Dark and Into the Light. Jack was in a very shitty situation, literally. To recap our hero's shitty situation, let's explain it again. First, he was talking to feces that thought it was the devil. Then he had to say a mantra to get himself to stop talking by the talking feces. Finally, he then got himself locked inside a portable fucking toilet. If this isn't rock bottom, folks, then I don't know what is. Now, back to the story. Jack was almost in panic situation, but then he started taking deep breaths and repeating his previous mantras, but that was giving minimal help at the time. He then started hearing that stupid devil conscience laughing at him again. Jack needed to draw strength from somewhere else, and he didn't know how. He then pondered on his fictional characters that normally gives him strength in dire situations. He closed his eyes and imagined his fictional heroes in the dire moments and how they overcame their adversities. In his mind, it went like this. Did Goku give up when Frieza killed his best friend Krillin? No. He went Super Saiyan and defeated the evil Time Freezer. Did Samwise abandon Frodo in his hour of need? No! He ventured in the Dark Tower and battled those orcs and saved Frodo, and together they destroyed the ring. Did Vegeta let Goku's natural talents and his new level of achieving Super Saiyan deter him and made him give up? No! He trained and trained until it almost killed him, until he achieved becoming a Super Saiyan. Jack then found inner strength and placed his hands along the door and found the lock, and opening the door and breathing the fresh air of freedom. He couldn't help but sticking his middle finger up to the toilet with his noble victory, and then he joined the group once again around the campfire, with his newfound confidence and also hearing himself that he was actually locked in a toilet. Chapter 4. What doesn't kill me makes me stronger. We then skip a few hours later. Our hero Jack was winning the battle of LSD, and he accepted the newfound visuals that was all around him. Redneck Jerry then spoke up and said, "Well, that's me. Good night, everyone." Jack was then left with Denise, and she said, "Well, I'm going to bed. You can come sleep in my room, hun." Jack was thinking, how the fuck am I meant to sleep in this state? And how can she sleep in the same state? I guess she wasn't lying when she said she's used to the LSD effects, he thought. And then he went into the bedroom to join her. When entering the room, Jack was horrified with what he saw. Now, he's seen dirty rooms before, but this brought a whole new meaning of dirty. A bin that was overflowing, clothes and rubbish all over the floor, and he wasn't sure if there was a few rats on the floor or the LSD talking, but Jack didn't give a fuck at this moment. Jack then thought to himself, how do I get myself into these situations? Denise then put on South Park and Jack lied in the bed while amusing himself watching South Park. As Jack intensely watching South Park, he realized he was still heavily influenced by the LSD and that sleep would definitely not come anytime soon. But at least he was with company, which makes it easier. He then turned over to see what Denise was doing and then realized she was snoring, and a deep snore it was. How the hell is she sleeping? Jack thought. Jack then looked onto the roof while still seeing waving patterns, and then he realized that not only is he in this filthy room and has someone snoring next to him, but he was alone. Alone and alone, which wasn't enticing. He then thought, I know, I'll look into social media. That'll cheer me up. As he grabbed his phone and struggled to put his PIN code and the dancing keypad, he finally unlocked his phone and then he peered into the world of social media. As he was scrolling through, he couldn't realize how miserable this was making him. going through all these pictures and videos and how these posts portray such a fakeness to people's lives. What a waste of time, he thought. And then he dropped his phone onto the floor and kept watching South Park. After what seemed a lifetime of South Park and deep thoughts, he then realized the sun was peering through and he could hear people getting up. So he removed himself from the garbage tray that he was called a bed and then left the beautiful Denise to her snoring. As Jack walked out, he realized that he never remembered the sun giving such a rainbow glow and winced himself that he was still feeling the effects of LSD. Jack then grabbed a coffee while pulling a straight face to everyone and then made his way outside to collect his thoughts. As he conversed with other travellers, he then needed to make a conscious decision whether if he could drive under the influence of LSD to his next destination or do the sensible thing and stay another night. Now I know what you're all thinking and I'm sure you know what decision our hero in the story made. Yes, you guessed it right. Jack got in the car and said goodbye to the redneck town and drove to his next destination to San Francisco while riding with his imaginary dragons. The end. Remember, folks, sometimes it's better to not take that LSD. Did everyone enjoy the story? I'll be releasing another 2 rock bottom stories in the next couple of weeks. And yes, I don't recommend driving on LSD. If you enjoy hearing about my stupid adventures, please follow me on Instagram, The Human Salmon. And remember, folks, have a great day and keep swimming upstream.